Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Of course, we're continuing our study of Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia, that region. We're seeing great truths as Paul seeks to correct the problems that had developed. You remember he went there and he told them about Christ and salvation was by faith and Christian life was by faith, and a group called the Judaizers came in and distorted everything. They distorted the gospel. They distorted how to live the Christian life. They said that salvation was based on trying to keep the Mosaic law. In fact, if you were a man, you had to be circumcised, come under the law of Moses, and then try to do the things that were there to be saved. And then if you were considered saved, then you needed to keep the Mosaic law, and that's how you lived what we'd call the Christian life. They confused the gospel and the Christian life. And in chapters 1 through 4, Paul talked about himself, but he also talked about the gospel and that salvation was by faith. As we move to chapters 5 and 6, which is where we are now, he begins to go into detail on the Christian life and how do you live the Christian life and how does that, it's a walk of faith. And then Paul exhorts these believers to live in freedom as a believer, not under some kind of law system, but living by faith. Well, this morning we're going to see a famous passage, a very familiar passage. And this passage gives us basically truths, and it deals with the deeds of the flesh followed by the fruit of the Spirit. That's the whole section. We're not going to see all of that this morning. But it basically, how do we live? We saw last time there was a command right at the very end of the message. We just touched on it. We'll touch on it more today. But he said, walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. What does that mean? We understand that it's not the law by which we live the Christian life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit by which we live the Christian life. And so as we look this morning, we're going to see about our lives and the results. And what will be the results in our lives as we choose either to walk in the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit inside us, or the flesh, which is the natural bent to sin. So as we look at our passage this morning, we're going to see the deeds of the flesh. And then next time, we're going to see, well, next time is Easter, and then the week after that, we'll look at the fruit of the Spirit. Well, when I was a little boy, I used to watch the Westerns on TV, and there was Gene Autry, and there was Roy Rogers, who was the king of the Cowboys, and there was Hopalong Cassidy, and they were good, and they were heroes in real life, too. In those old-time movies, you could always tell the good guy from the bad guy. See, the good guy was like Roy Rogers, they always dressed sharp and they clean and they wore white hats. And the bad guys always were dirty and rough and they always wore black hats. And so there was the contrast. You could just tell immediately who was the good guy and who was the bad guy. As we look at our passage this morning, we see a contrast. The contrast between what we'd say the good and the bad, between the fruit of the Spirit and the deeds of the flesh. We know there's a pull. We know there's two ways we can live. We can live by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, as Paul says, walk in the Spirit, or we could live by the power of the flesh. And you know what's amazing is the Holy Spirit brings victory, but the flesh brings defeat. And you know, as Christians, so many believers, we trust Christ, we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, and we have eternal life, and then we flounder in the Christian life. We struggle so much in the Christian life. And as we look at our passage this morning, we're going to be able to tell. We can look at your life and you can say, are you living in the flesh or are you living in the Spirit? It's going to be evident. In fact, in Galatians 5, beginning about verse 16 and going through about verse 26, he actually shows, he begins to say, here's the deeds of the flesh. Here are the fruit. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. And so for the next couple of weeks, we'll see that. And we'll say this, are you living by the flesh or are you living by the Spirit? And we'll see how that fits together. Well, let me remind you as we get started that Paul writes to correct some of the issues, some misunderstandings. And there's two things that they just stand out. First of all, he talks about the gospel. And he says the gospel is by faith, not works. The Judaizers, and it's, Judaizers are everywhere. They're today. There would be people who tell you to be baptized to be saved. You need to live a good life to be saved. You need to give your life to Jesus and serve him to be saved. That's the Judaizers. They say you got to do these things in order to be saved. But Paul says it's not by that at all. It's by faith, not works. Salvation is a gift by faith. Galatians 2:16, a man's not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. 3:26, we're sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And then he dealt with the Christian life. And he said the Christian life is a walk of faith. Galatians 2:20, and the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So we see that. But there are people today who will say, well, you can say you're a Christian, but if you don't live the right life and if you don't have fruit and if you don't do this and do this and do this, you're really not a Christian or you lose it. And there are people who deal with this all the time. So as we've moved, and we've already seen in the first basically four chapters where he dealt with that salvation was by faith and not by works. It's not by law. In fact, if it came by law, Christ died for nothing. We're saved by grace through faith. Now we're in the part about the Christian life. How do we live? How do we live as a Christian? How do we live? Is it rules? Is it laws? Do we say, okay, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Let's put all these don'ts down. Let's see if we can live the Christian life by the don'ts. And we're going to find that that's not what he says at all. He says, walk in the Spirit. As we get to chapter 5, if you notice, he started chapter 5 with a great point. He said this, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Keep standing firm in the grace of God. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Don't go back to some kind of law system. And there are people, there are Christians, it breaks my heart that they're under a law system trying to live the Christian life. The issue of living the Christian life is freedom and not slavery of a law system. He gets specific, as we're going to see, beginning at verse 13. Look what he says. You were called to freedom, brethren. Only don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. He says, you've been called to freedom. Freedom to live the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit. He says this, by love, serve one another. We're set free to serve, not set free to sin. And then as he gets to verse 16 is where we actually stopped last week. Here's what he says. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk in the power of the Spirit is what he's saying. You will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now, we know what the flesh is. We're going to talk more about it in a second. But he actually says you need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The word walk is a Greek word, peripatao, which means to move around. He's saying this is your lifestyle. Your lifestyle must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, and he actually says, keep on walking in the Spirit. And he says, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that's what that means. Now, some people have this idea that you can get a little bit more of the Spirit. Maybe some more Spirit in you. Listen, when you trusted Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. You're not getting any more of the Spirit. You got him all. The point is, are you going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? Are you going to live your life in the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you going to walk worthy of the calling? So, in a sense, we've got all the Holy Spirit we're going to ever get. We got to live in his power. And your determination and my determination to rely upon the resources of the Holy Spirit is in us. We got to either live by the Spirit or we'll walk in the flesh. And look what he says. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out, you will not live out the desire of the flesh. It's a double negative. He says, you in no way will do that. Now, the flesh is a natural bent to sin. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. Even after we trust Christ, we still got the pull to sin. It's in our lives. I don't have to tell you that. Every one of you in this room, you have a natural bent to do wrong. You have a natural bent to do wrong. I do too. And we know it's there. And he says, if you want to have victory over this natural bent to sin, he says, you walk by the Spirit, you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now notice he didn't say this. He didn't say, don't carry out the desires of the flesh and you'll walk in the Spirit. And that's what a lot of people think. Okay, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this. I'll be a spiritual person. You're not a spiritual person. Spiritual person is a person controlled by the Holy Spirit. The trying to live by law will not make you spiritual. Cannot happen. Doing the things in the power of the Holy Spirit is what makes you spiritual. People say things like, well, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't dance, I don't say bad words. That makes me spiritual. That doesn't make you spiritual at all. Being controlled by the Holy Spirit makes you spiritual. Now, let's talk about what we're like, okay? Let's talk about as a believer. Think about it. You have a body, holds everything together. You have a soul, which is the part of you that relates to the world around, just the Greek word psuche. We get psyche from it. Then you have the word, we have a conscience that's right from wrong. We're coming to this world knowing right from wrong. Romans chapter 2 says that we have the law written on our hearts and our conscience. Then we have that flesh, which is a natural pull to sin. You know it is there. It's not something that people say, oh, I don't think I have a natural bent to sin. Do we teach children to do wrong or do we have to teach children to do right? Everybody has a natural bent to sin. Mine, this is mine. I do what I want to do. And that's what we do. We have that natural bent. Then when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, and we talked about this in grow groups this morning, that we're made alive, human spirit, we're made alive spiritually. And then by the grace of God, this generation, this church age saints, these believers, all of us who are in the church, the body of Christ, the moment we believe, God, the Holy Spirit, actually comes to live inside of us. So we got a body, we got a soul that relates to the world, we got a conscience tells us right and wrong, we got a natural bent to sin, we got a part of us that's now born again, alive in Christ as a new creation, and we've got the Holy Spirit, God, inside of us. And you can tell right there, there's a battle. There's a problem. There's a part of you. Let me see if I can make this work. There's a part of you that says, I do what I want to do. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8 that the flesh never wants to do what God wants you to do. The flesh is enmity against God. This natural part of us says, I do my own thing anytime I want to. That's the flesh. So you got this, look, you got a little battle going on. There's the flesh, and then there's God. And God says, live righteously and godly and walk worthy of the calling. And this flesh says, no. I do what I want to do. And there's a battle going on inside of all of us. There's a battle going on. I want you to see it. Look at verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. There's a battle going on inside of us, the flesh against the spirit, against the spirit against the flesh. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, basically saying, live godly according to the scripture, walk worthy of your calling. And your flesh is saying, live the way you want to, do what you want to do, think these thoughts, go to these places, look at these things, do this. And the Holy Spirit is saying, walk worthy of the calling. Live godly and righteously. You have a battle going on. Paul said, walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the desire of the flesh, because the flesh is against the Spirit and the Spirit is against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Who decides whether we walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh? We do. You choose. There is this battle inside of us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to live worthy and to walk worthy. At the same time, we have a pull to go wrong, to go contrary to God and His Word. And that's why the key is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, keep the Mosaic law and you'll be okay. He didn't say, give yourself the rules and try to follow those rules and you'll be okay. He didn't say that at all. In fact, he said the opposite all the way through. He says, law doesn't work. Law causes you to sin. He says, you walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And let me show you. In verses 19 through 21, he's going to tell us what comes out in the flesh. In verses 22 through 23, he's going to tell us what comes out in the Spirit. He calls them the deeds, the works of the flesh, and he calls it the fruit. Notice it's singular, the fruit of the Spirit. Now he gets back to his point, and the point is this, law can't do this. Notice verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, and you are, you're not under the law. When you are led or controlled under the Holy Spirit, you're not under law. It's a walk of faith. The Holy Spirit is a walk of faith. It can't be both law and faith at the same time. Look at this, the flesh is defeated by the control of the Holy Spirit, not through a law system. You can't stop the flesh by law. When you put yourself under law, it makes the flesh even worse. The only way you can have victory is the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice in verse 22 and 23, he says the fruit of the Spirit is, now look at them, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And look how he ends the verse, against such things there is no law. Law cannot produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Cannot produce it. Law produces the opposite. There is no law that can stop the flesh. There is no law that can cause the Spirit. Law is not the answer. Now he finishes the chapter. And as he finishes the chapter, he's gonna say, okay, let's talk about the flesh, and then let's talk about the Spirit. And in verses 19 through 21, we're gonna see deeds of the flesh. And then in verses 22 and 23, we're gonna see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, this morning, we're going to see the deeds of the flesh. Next week, it's Easter, and we'll talk about Jesus and the resurrection. And then the week after that, we'll come back to this, and we'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And by the way, the Christian life is a supernatural life, right? I mean, your salvation is supernatural. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose again, and He makes you alive, makes you a new creation in Christ, gives you the Holy Spirit, gives you spiritual gifts, helps you understand the Scripture, all of these things. That's all supernatural. And the life that we live as a Christian is a supernatural life. We're living in the power of God inside of us, not rules or laws, not by flesh, which always sins, but by the Spirit, which brings victory. This is the deal. So let's begin today. Let's look at the deeds of the flesh. I don't really want to to be realized. Could we just skip this? Let's just say, let's don't even look at 19, 20, and 21. That's what we'd like to do because it's bad, because it's horrible. Because when you look at this, what you actually say is, that's me. I look at this and you know what I say? That's me. And let me tell you, when I look at this, you know what I say? That's you. Right? That's us. This is what we're like. This is the natural part of us. This is what we're like. And so we want to see it. And look at verse 19. He says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, and he's going to list some. He says the deeds of the flesh, the bent to do wrong. The Bible calls it the old man. The Bible calls it sin within us. The Bible calls it the flesh. And so there's got all these names, but it is a natural bent for each of us in this room to go the wrong way. Now, let me tell you, it's natural because we come into this world. This is what we know. This is what we are like. We are born dead in trespasses and sins. We're born with a natural bent to sin, and we become a new creation in Christ. We are now born again, and we have the Holy Spirit. And now we're saying, wait a minute, this is what I've always done because this is me, but now I'm a new creation in Christ, and I got the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to walk in the Spirit so I won't fulfill the desire of the flesh. Let me tell you what Paul says about the flesh. It's in Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 7, he says, in me, that is my flesh, dwells no good thing. It's not good. It's not good in any way, shape, or form. He also says that he finds he is a godly man who wants to do good. There is evil inside of him. Every one of you in this room, thinking me, we got evil inside of us. It's a natural pull to do wrong. Listen, do you want your thoughts put on that screen? Does any of us in this room want our thoughts put on that screen? We sure don't. Why? We say, because some of the thoughts I think, I don't, they're not very good. Why not? Well, because they're coming from where? The flesh. You don't want that put up there. Because that's who we are, but we're different. Because we're a new creation in Christ, and we've got the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out the what? The desire of the flesh. I've had people say, well, listen, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I still have the same old thoughts. Am I not a Christian? Of course you're a Christian. If you put your faith in Christ, he gives you eternal life. The flesh is not done away with. The flesh will be done away with when you get a new body and you live eternally with Jesus Christ. Let's see what they are. Now, look what he says, and I'm going to go really fast through these. He says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, clearly seen. Is that true? Pretty much clearly seen? He's going to break them down into four big groups, and we're going to go quickly through them. Here are the four groups. He's going to give you sexual sins, religious sins, personal relationship sins, and social sins. And that's what he talks about. So let's start, and I'm going to go real fast. He's going to start with sexual sins. Notice what he says. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, and the very first one is immorality. Immorality is the word for adultery. There's a Greek word for adultery, and what adultery is when two people have sexual relations, and one of them is married, and they're not married to each other. Okay, so here's either one or both of them could be married, but married to different people. So adultery is when a person has sexual relations with somebody that they're not married to and they're married to somebody else. That's what adultery is. There's a particular word. So notice what he says, that here's what comes out of people when they're controlled by the flesh. They commit adultery. And there's more. There's impurity. Now this word impurity comes from a Greek word porneia. We get the word pornography from it. Sometimes it's translated fornication. Listen, this just means illicit sexual sin. It means anybody that's having sexual relations that's not married. It's a violation. Now, it's natural. What I'm saying is there are people out in our world that says, what's wrong with having sex with somebody else that you're not married to? But the Bible says it's wrong. It's the deeds of the flesh. It's the naturalness of the flesh. And then he gives another word. Notice what he says. He says immorality, impurity, and sensuality. This word has the word literally by itself would just mean something that's dirty. But the way it's almost always used is sexually. It's for sexual perversion. And so sexual sins, these sexual sins are a result of the flesh. If we didn't obey the flesh, there wouldn't be any adultery or fornication or pornography or sexual sins or affairs or pregnancies that not supposed to be, prostitution, any of that sort of things. It'd all be over with. But it's the lust of the flesh, and we as people fulfill that. But then he has religious sins. And look what they are. There are two that he lists there. There's idolatry and sorcery. That's verse 20. Let's talk about idolatry, because when we talk about idolatry, we say, oh, we don't have idols, because we know there are other parts of the world that they actually have idols that they worship and all those kind of things. Idolatry really is putting anything before God. It means to serve an idol. It means to serve something else. And there are people who worship their jobs. There are people who worship their money. There are people who worship their houses, their car. There are people in America, materialism many times is an idol for people because it's more important than anything else that they do. And so idolatry is putting anything, it's a worship of a false god. Now, there's only one God. When we say false gods and the Bible says false gods, Paul goes on to explain that when he says false gods, there's no such thing. There's only one God. There's only one God ever. There aren't any other things that are gods, but there are other things that people make gods. And so this idolatry is a false god, worship of things. Sometimes it's jobs and recreation, possessions, and no telling what it is. The second one is the word for sorcery, and it really means witchcraft. You know what? You ready for the word? The Greek word for sorcery is pharmacia. We get pharmacy because they're back there making the potions, right? I mean, that's what that word comes from. Pharmacia means to make a potion. And that's what they were called because, you know, when we go in to get our medicine, they open this high thing and it's all blocked off and you can't see what they're doing back there. But the bottom line is this word meant to make a potion. It meant witchcraft. And there were people who followed this stuff. And there are people today who follow these sort of things. Now, from there, he moves to what we call personal relationship sins. And I'm going to go through these quickly, but what you're going to see is that when we are controlled by the flesh, there is always conflict with other people. That's what it is. Because what the flesh says is this: me. I'm the most important one. I wake up in the morning, I think about me. What am I going to do? What's best for me? Who's going to take? Nobody's going to cut me off. Nobody's going to get in front of me in line. Nobody's going to get paid more than I should get paid. Nobody's going to get. And what you have is conflict. Because whenever you live by the flesh, what you say is me. It's all about me. That's what our world is, isn't it? It's all about me. And so we say, it's just whatever I want to do. So look at the deeds of the flesh when they deal with personal relationship sins. The first one is enmities. It means hatred. It means hostility. It means that you're against others. It's what comes out of us when we're controlled by the flesh. We have hostility toward others. The second word is the word strife. And it means quarrels. It's quarrels. It's like because I don't like what you do because you're not doing what I want you to do. Flesh always equals conflict. Flesh always equals quarreling. Look at the third word. The third word is jealousy. You ever been jealous of somebody? Jealousy doesn't come from God. Jealousy comes from you. Jealousy, this word has an idea of afraid of losing what is yours. You say, I don't want anybody taking my stuff. I'm not satisfied with what I have. It's a lack of trust in God. Then outburst. It's outburst of anger. You ever gotten mad for no reason? Well, I say no reason. When you say, well, I got a right to be mad. Outburst of anger. That's what we do. Why? Because that's not from God. That's from the flesh. And then disputes. It's based on selfishness. See, the dispute says, it is my way, not your way. I want to have it my way because I deserve a break today, right? I want it my way. And then look, still right in there, dissension, division. Flesh brings division. Flesh brings division in the body of Christ. You think church ever split because the Holy Spirit made them split? You think people get in arguments in church because the Holy Spirit's doing it? It's the flesh doing it. And then in verse 21, he lists envy. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I missed one. Factions, which is, this is a unique word because when we think of factions, we think of choosing sides, and that's what that word means. But it has an idea of heresy, that I have my idea, and this is what's right, and somebody else has their idea, and this is what's right. And so we're not coming together, and the flesh says, no, I'm the right way, and this is what's right. And this person says, no, I'm the right way, and this is what's right. Now, we're not talking about biblical truths here. We're not talking about is the salvation by faith or something, because there's going to be people who don't believe that. But we're talking about not able to get along with each other. And then in verse 21, he has envying, which really is wanting somebody else's. I want to read something to you. This is in James. You don't have to turn there. But in James chapter 4, listen to what he says. James chapter 4, verse 2, you lust, you desire, but you don't have it. So you commit murder. Murder? You are envious, and you cannot obtain. So you fight, and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Envious. Quarreling. Why are there wars, and stealing, and lawsuits, and divisions? Then he lists two more. He calls them social sins and his drunkenness. Notice what he says, drunkenness. It means getting drunk. It's always wrong to get drunk. Now, there's all the issues. Oh, is it okay to, can you drink? The Bible never says that it is a sin to drink. It says it is a sin to get drunk and drunkenness. But let me tell you, in our culture, have you seen what happens when people drink alcohol? Let me tell you, just a wise thing maybe is this. Not that you don't have the right to drink. It may be a wise thing just to say, listen, just because I see what happens in people's lives and families and issues and everything else, I'm not going to drink because I don't want to take a chance of getting drunk or causing somebody to stumble. That's in 1 Corinthians. Just be careful because this is drunkenness. It didn't say can't drink. It just says drunkenness and being controlled by alcohol. And then look at the next one. It's carousing. Carousing. That sounds kind of different, doesn't it? Carousing? It means a wild time. It means wild. There was a thing going on in Central Park in New York at one time. They were calling it wilding. They called it wilding. People, a group of people would get together, drink, and then they would go beat up people. They would go tear up stuff, and they called it wilding. That's called carousing. Sometimes you see that when a sports team wins a championship, people go crazy in the streets and they turn cars over and burn them. That's all because they're happy, right? See, that's called carousing. And then, instead of just keeping going on, Paul says, and anything like this, things like this, these kind of things. He says, listen, this is what comes out of all of us when we're living in the flesh. And so he said, look, sex is your plan, not God's. Idols, it's false gods, anything above God. It's personal, it's me first, you first. It's social, it's wild, drunkenness, that's what it really is. These are all these things that come out when people are controlled by the flesh. People will come up to you and say, no, people are basically good. People are not basically good. Go take your billfold, put it downtown, go away for about an hour or two, see if it's there when you come back. There might be somebody that's nice, somebody like a Christian who may pick it up and find your billfold and say, oh, I know this person, or I'll try to get in touch with this person. But a lot of people are looking to steal because that's natural. Now, look what he says. And I want you to understand this because sometimes people get so confused. Look what he says. Envy and drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I forewarn you. He said, I'm warning you. Just as I have forewarned you, I've already told you about this, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now he says, if you do these things over, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now when you look at that, some people think, oh, wait a minute. He's saying that if you do these things, you won't go to heaven. There's some people who say, if you do these things, it proves you're not a Christian. There's some people who say, if you do these things ongoing, you lose your salvation. Look, salvation is by faith. It's not by lifestyle. Our salvation is not based on our faithfulness. Our salvation is not based on whether we live good or bad. Our salvation is based on the fact that we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And what did he give you? Eternal life. And it begins the moment you believe. So to do these things doesn't mean you lose salvation. In fact, as a believer, when you live in the flesh, you know what you're called? A disobedient believer. Now, let me show you this. What does it mean to not inherit the kingdom? Notice carefully, he doesn't say those who live this way don't go to heaven. There is a difference between entering the kingdom, which is eternal life salvation, and inheriting the kingdom. We find that entering the kingdom has to do with eternal life. And we enter the kingdom how? By faith in Jesus Christ. inheriting the kingdom. To inherit the kingdom deals with rewards. It deals with faithful living. We gain rewards by living faithful. If you live righteously, when you stand before your Savior, if you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, you stand before your Savior, he's going to say, well done. If you live like envy and sorceries and jealousy and anger and disputes and drunkenness and carousing and sensuality, if you live like that, when you stand before him, he's not going to say, well done. In fact, 1 John chapter 2 says you will be ashamed at his coming. This has nothing to do with your salvation. To inherit the kingdom is dealing with rewards. Rewards. So to inherit the kingdom is different from entering the kingdom. Let me show you something. All believers enter the kingdom. Jesus told Nicodemus, you want to be born again? Unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom. That's salvation. That's eternal life salvation. Every one of us who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, we enter the kingdom. But faithful believers inherit the kingdom. This deals with rewards. When we live by the flesh, if we live by the flesh, we'll not inherit the kingdom. We will not be rewarded. All believers will be in the kingdom. Not all believers will inherit the kingdom and rule of Christ. Let me show you something. You may not understand this. But when people die and God brings the kingdom to the earth and we all get to be in the kingdom, we're all not the same. There are going to be some people who have been faithful and served Jesus Christ. They will be places of responsibility in the kingdom. That's called inheriting the kingdom. That's rewards. There are other people who have not lived faithfully, who've lived according to the flesh. They will not have those rewards. They will not have those places. And the fact the Bible says they will not rule with him. After we get through with this book, we're going to study 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, Paul actually says about ruling with Christ. It's not salvation. That's rewards. You have to understand that every one of us in this room have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. You are entering the kingdom by faith. If you live righteously and godly in the power of the Holy Spirit and not the flesh, you will have rewards and you will inherit the kingdom. Romans 8, verse 17 says, we're heirs of God. That's entering the kingdom. And then the verse goes on to say, and joint heirs with Christ if we suffer with him. That's talking about rewards. In one verse says, we're all heirs of God, salvation, but we're joint heirs with Christ. That's rewards if we suffer with him. So to enter the kingdom comes by faith. To inherit the kingdom comes by faithfulness, service, and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. So understand, salvation is a gift, costs us absolutely nothing. Any one of us who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, we trust in him for eternal life, we have eternal life, and we enter the kingdom. All of us as believers who have entered the kingdom, if we live righteously and godly, if we walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, if we don't practice these things, as he says, we will inherit the kingdom of God. So bottom line, if you live in the flesh, you're not going to inherit the kingdom. When you stand before Jesus Christ, he will not say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you live in the power of the Spirit, he will say, well done. Now, what do you want? How do we live the Christian life? Is it law? It's not law. Law never produces any of this. The flesh produces the deeds of the flesh. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We need to live on a higher plane. You can live in the flesh as a believer and you'll look like an unbeliever. You'll look badly. You will look like an unbeliever, and when you stand before your Savior, you will be embarrassed, and you will not have the rewards. You will not inherit the kingdom. You're still saved. You still have eternal life, and you will enter the kingdom. They're two different things. Next time, fruit of the Spirit, look what he says. Verse 22, but, look at the change, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and then notice, against such things, there's no law. No law can make that happen. It's the power of the Spirit. We'll see that next time. Let me remind you of several things we'll be through. First of all, realize the battle inside. There's a battle going on inside of us. It is the flesh versus the Spirit. When you wake up in the morning, you have a battle. You have a natural pull inside of you that says, do wrong. Now, your flesh doesn't say it's wrong. Your flesh says, no, do what's good. Do that feels good. Do this. Look over there. This is what's good. That's what our flesh says. But the Spirit says, no. Here's the Scripture. Live by the Scripture. Walk worthy of the calling. So there's a battle. You're going to fight it as long as you're alive in these bodies. Second, look at your life. What is evident? What's coming out? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, or immorality, impurity, idolatry, sensuality, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions. What's coming out in our lives? Look at your life. We can tell. Who chooses? Who decides which one you do? You do. Last but not least, let's walk in the Spirit so we will inherit the kingdom. We will inherit the kingdom. We were dead in sin. Now we're alive in Christ. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We no longer have to live in the flesh. If we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're obedient Christians and we inherit the kingdom. If we live in the power of the flesh, we're disobedient Christians and we do not inherit the kingdom. Two different things there. May we live in God's power, walking in the Spirit, not the flesh, so we can inherit the kingdom and hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant.